Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station. Hello, I am Pamela Spoto, poet and host of Late Night Poetry Jam. Tonight we are featuring three artists, Craig Boyer, Alex Colvin, and me, Pamela Spoto. And we will be discussing creativity, the creative life, and showcasing each person's work. So hello, Alex.
Hello.
And hello, Craig.
Hi there, Pamela.
And I do want to tell the audience that as I was going through my poetry last night, I was thinking about the language of it. And I'll be very careful with my language. However, I would just like to say that there probably are some adult themes in some poems, and so you know this now because I'm telling you that this might happen, but it will be very sparse in that way. And this is a late night poetry jam, but music lyrics, other kinds of writings, philosophizing, all of this fits into this category of creativity, the artist's work. And so it's going to be poetry, but it's going to move beyond poetry as well. And we're going to begin this show with a discussion among ourselves. And I'm asking each of our guests, and I will do this too, is to tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, about your creative life. And I'd like to start with Alex Colvin. And I know that he is a musician, a poet, a songwriter, a philosopher. You have a website and a blog. And some people call you the flawed guru. So what are you going to tell us, Alex?
Well, just in the issue of creative life and about myself, it started when I was a child. So at that early age, I don't know what really the influences were other than that I liked music and I liked nursery rhymes, you know, because one of the things I've always found was that one of the things that, like, reading poetry gives birth to writing poetry.
Yes.
And so as a child, you know, my mom showed me one time, I think it's lost now, but a poem that I wrote when I was a kid, and I went, wow, that's really beautiful. These things would just come. I lived in San Francisco from the age of 5 or 6 to 9 and would drive up here where my grandfather had a ranch up in Burney, and my brother and my mom would be in the front seat and I would be in back seat, and I would just be singing songs as we drove along, just making them up. So it was always a thing.
So you would make up songs?
I would make up songs,
yes,
and just be singing songs as we drove along. And they'd go, where are you getting all this stuff? You know.
So you didn't have a little computer, a little cell phone that you were busily, you know. That's great.
Yeah.
Because that's wonderful. So your creativity as a child just blossomed.
Right.
And from the back seat of the car.
And I might start with something like, you know, someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, but then it would just go off making up my own lyrics and everything. So there were periods. And then I found, like, you know, that it was in high school when we studied poetry, I wrote a lot of poetry, some of which I still remember because the written work was lost. And then from listening to music, you know, when I first got a guitar, first thing I did when I got a guitar, somebody showed me three songs, so I made up a song called Superman, Batman, and Flash Gordon. and that's kind of been it. And I think all of the arts are related. So for a while I did painting too. And I also like writing, you know, I haven't done a lot of it, but where you look at a painting and then you put it into a poem, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
And then I've always been philosophically minded. Finding the truth has always been a key element for me. And I've always, especially from early post-puberty, been influenced by love.
By love. Right. By love. You know, so that is so interesting, that because I formally met you a week ago, but I remember way back 10 years ago or so when we were open mics around town after we talked for a bit, I remember that you were participating in those too. So it's really fascinating. And so when I was talking with you last week and you mentioned philosophy and contemplation, and so that has been with you all your life as well. Is that what you're saying? To seek out the truth, to seek out meanings, mysteries.
That's always been a thing, and I have not always, and still am not very practically minded.
Oh,
you know, it's always been about, you know, figuring things out. Knowing things, not necessarily knowing practical things like how wires and technology work, but trying to understand reality and the human mind.
Are you a Pisces?
No, I'm a Virgo.
I would just
polar axis.
That has no.
One of my best friends is a Pisces. You know, if it's a harmonious relationship, boy, that's something. You know, because the water flows into the earth. The earth can help contain the water. But the water nourishes the earth.
That's true. And I would like to, I'm going to ask Craig some questions here too, and then I'm going to ask you more questions as we go along. So Craig, what about you? What could you tell us about your life? I mean, I know you're a musician. You know a lot about music. You travel all over listening to music and meeting musicians and playing music. And you host a show called Dig This Music with a Message. And you also worked with gerontology or the elderly and some people who were, you know, terminally ill. Mm-hmm. So what can you tell us about you and your life and your work?
Well, I've always enjoyed music, art, and literature, and it just makes life worthwhile. I worked in child and family services for a time, but I found that I liked working with senior citizens and their life experiences, and they would tell me their stories, and their stories were amazing, and I was inspired by all of that. So I've written songs and play music and go to a lot of concerts, and it means a lot to me. Music is such a big part of my life. So from the beginning of the day to when I go to bed at night, my wife can say that I will be singing. And it's, you know, just before going to bed, even I sing a little song. It's not the same song. depends on the circumstances.
Oh, that is so interesting. I mean, both you and Alex. I mean, I'm picturing Alex in the back seat of his car, you know, as a child. And I mean, music has been with him all his life. And you're saying, you know, similar kinds of things, that music fills your day, fills your soul, mm-hmm. and you sing before bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh.
So, I have some poems and little things here to share about dealing with those who have forgotten.
Do you want to read one now and then read more later, or what would you like to do?
Well, I've got a little sequence here.
Well,
If you're not ready, then.
I'm ready, but not ready because okay. I thought I would just talk a little bit more about our lives.
Gotcha.
But you know, it's interesting because we can intersperse poetry with that too, and I understand sequences. Mm-hmm. What astrological sign are you? I'm curious.
Pisces.
Isn't that funny? That is like funny. Yeah.
In fact, I was born on the Ides of March.
Oh.
March 15th.
Oh. And well, my
partner. Me too, Brutus.
My partner's birthday is on the 14th. So
oh, wow.
Another Pisces, wow. All these creative, visionary people. And I will tell the audience just a little bit about me, that I'm a poet and a performance artist. And obviously, I host this show, Late Night Poetry Jam, but I also host Dig This Environmental Watch. And I'm an environmental and social justice activist. And that comes out in my poetry as well. And I was thinking last night about what else I had been doing musically, because I knew that I was going to be with people who music is very important to. And I used to play the trumpet, but they called me Trumpet Lips in high school. I was first chair trumpet.
All right.
I was really good.
Wow.
But then I, you know, vanity or whatever, I stopped playing trumpet, and I have a set of drums and kungas and a tumba. on a quinto, and I took lessons for a while. And I love animals, so all of those things are a little bit about me. Now, I want to go back with two other questions, and then we'll start reading and looking at our work. So, Alex, I was going to ask you, and I may know the answer to this, or I may not, because you mentioned love and philosophy. But the question is, what inspires you?
What inspires me?
In terms of inspiring your work to write.
Well, I'll make a preparatory statement here, saying that I believe that it is the muse, or one of the muses, that inspires all of us.
Okay.
Now, it does that on a foundation. So it's just interesting that the muses, the nine muses, and there were two, I think, for poetry, but Erato, muse of poetry, were the children of Zeus and Menomone. And to me, that means they're the children of the spirit, mm-hmm. the great mm-hmm. spirit, the mm-hmm. divine spirit. Playing on your memory, and spirit playing with the human memory gives birth through various different avenues to creative artistic expression. Now, for spirit to work on memory, there has to be either experience or knowledge in the mind which the spirit can draw on and then give you, you know, and you can learn the technology, the technique of poetry, which enhances it. You can learn form and rhythm and alliteration and all these other things. But there has to, for there to be substance, there has to be knowledge or depth of experience. And the kind of experiences and knowledge that inspire me, first of all, love,
okay.
you know, and that can be divine love or human love. And then nature, going out in nature, any of the wow things in life. So if you go out in nature and you're all in your head, that may give rise to expository writing, but not necessarily to poetry. But if you go out in nature with an open spirit and let it speak to you, then poetic writing is almost guaranteed. And then science. This is kind of interesting, but science and those things which stretch the mind to the point of wow, I think are inspirational. And I think it's good to learn the vocabulary. I think it's good to be able to combine the vocabulary of science and mythology. I think mythology is another area for inspiration. Anything that can take me to the point of wow, you know, I go breathe, feel the love, live in the wow. And then you have the technology of creative expression to lead you into that. Depth psychology can give an understanding of the kind of archetypal things that, because for me, good poetry is not just academic or conscious. It's like turning the world inside out, breaking into the unconscious and subconscious roles where true consciousness lies. And poetry is an avenue to that.
Why does he remind me of Ram Dass?
Hmm.
It was the wow. Feel the love. Live in the wow. I like
not
it.
Not just the now. Very good.
And the avenue into this through poetry. That's beautiful. Okay. Well, Craig, I wanted to ask you the same question. What inspires you to write and play music?
A lot of times it's the human condition and trying to understand and address the human condition. So I look at someone and I see this inconsistency or this consistency or whatever it might be, and it just takes me to a certain place. Also, of course, in nature, that's huge. And as Alex said, love. Because even though I don't do the emphasis on love songs, I still think that love and caring about others is just so vitally important to the entire planet, to the way we live and the choices that we make. And so love, not just romantic love, but love in general, and caring about other people is inspiring.
Yes, and I was thinking about, because the next question has to do with themes in your work, and when I was looking at what kinds of themes come up in my work last night, I've looked at this before too, but love is one category, but the funny story, I think it's a funny story. In fact, I'm going to write a poem about it. Is that about a month ago, I met some people for lunch that I hadn't seen for a long time that had retired from the college that I work at. And this one retiree, he had moved to Denmark. He'd married a woman there. And he, unfortunately, she died. I mean, he's been there for years and years and years. And so he came back to the United States to take care of some business. And so we met for lunch. And so he'd been trying to keep track of me a little bit. And he ran into a mutual friend of ours that I was in a poetry group with, and he goes, well, how's Pamela? What's Pamela doing? Is she writing poetry? And our mutual friend Pete said, Pamela fell in love and her poetry went to hell. And I thought, what? Because I even brought some love poetry. I like my love poetry. So I just thought, wow, that's an interesting
maybe
take.
A matter of opinion.
It could be a matter of opinion, because I think, you know, I tend to write, it depends, kind of edgy poetry, and maybe that edge was softened, you know, and I was kind of celebrating love, and he didn't find that particularly the best poetry for him. And so in terms of themes of writing, you know, love is one of my themes, inspired as well by that. But also politics, unfortunately or fortunately, and the environment and nature, as you mentioned. And then, so those are like three categories, but also like headlines in a paper will catch my eye, or a news story. And if I can't get it out of my head, I have to write about it. And one example was when the ex-boyfriend allegedly cooked his ex-girlfriend's dog. And I heard this, and I thought about it, and I read about it, and I thought, this is horrendous. So I wrote a poem about that. So things like that. So in terms of themes in your poetry, when you talk about inspiration, I mean, those are tied. Would you say that a lot of what you write about then the thematically would be nature and love?
Mine, not so much. It's about, you know, human connection and that sort of thing. But,
okay, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because especially that was one thing that you said about working with the elderly, mm-hmm. the stories that they shared.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Alex, what about you?
I don't know if I would say that either. It's interesting because I think that if I were to choose, like, and say, well, what is it that is... The kind of theme is really a lot of times spirit, expressing itself,
mm-hmm.
and seeking union, seeking ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
There's an element there. And so that can be excited by all different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the path to heaven often leads through hell, you know, and so the path to ecstasy often goes through the pits of despondency.
Yes.
So there's really a lot using material in the world to explore these kind of psychic themes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so what I think is that Craig, are you you're set up to share your work?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think this is how, because I'm looking at time and I'm thinking about the entire hour. I'm being organized here.
Mm-hmm.
That why don't you go ahead and do your work, and then we'll be taking a short break. And when we come back, we'll go to Alex, and then I will be the third one in that. And I do have, and if we have more time, then I'll ask some more questions. So okay, Craig, what do you have for us?
Well, this is a poem I wrote about those who have memory deficits and dementia and so forth, and I've been working with that population for a long time. I've done stroke support group, Alzheimer's support group, Parkinson's support group, all that sort of thing. And this is about those that have memory issues. To those who've forgotten, never so deep a connection with the human race as when I walk into a room with awareness that today's actions will not be remembered. Aged eyes peer into mine, seeking answers I don't have, grasping time in tight bone china fists, then watching it slip past their fingers. Each moment is a pure reality, unequaled by the rest of us, of confused emotions, with life lived 1 second at a time. The profound effect on my life is that each and every story is now burned in my memory and never letting me forget those who've forgotten.
Wow. And we all, I think, don't you think we all face a relative or someone we know that has these issues, yes.
For certain. And then I wanted to follow that up with, anyway, and I didn't write this, but I sure like it, and then a song after that.
Okay.
It's called Anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for underdogs anyway. What you spend your years building up may be destroyed overnight. Build it anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got, anyway. That's kind of my philosophy.
It is a good one, isn't it? It is a good one.
And then I have a song, Loved Till You've Loved It Away.
So this is a love song?
In a sense.
So, this is good. Craig is getting his guitar right now. These men have tuned up their guitars.
Do we have mic 4 on?
We don't, but we will. Okay. And now we do. Thank you for reminding me.
So easy to dream of days gone by. It's a hard thing to think of times to come. But the grace to accept every moment as a gift is the gift that is given to some. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your work unto your play. What can you do with each moment of your life but love till you've loved it away? Just love till you've loved it away. There are sorrows enough for the whole world's end, and there are no guarantees but the grave. And the life that I've lived, the times I have spent, are a treasure too precious to erase. What can you do with your days but work and hope? Let your dreams bind your work unto your play. What can you do with each moment of your life. But love, you've loved it away. Just love till you've loved it away.
Well, thank you, Craig. That was beautiful. And I did have Mike 4 on. I just turned on something else. So we'll have a lot of sound. When did you write that?
I didn't happen to write that particular one, I wish I could say.
Uh-huh,
it's a Massachusetts songwriter named Bob Frankie who wrote that song.
Uh-huh. And, well, it's lovely.
It's a really nice song.
It's absolutely lovely. Well, I think, well, first of all, I want to remind the audience that this is KKRN, community and listener-supported radio, and you're listening to Late Night Poetry Jam, in case you just tuned in to this wonderful show with our wonderful guests. And I'm host Pamela Spodo, and Alex Colvin and Craig Boyer are in the studio with us. And we're going to take a very short break, just maybe 3 minutes, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich. How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see. If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we. As we take, 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 take. Like a good mother, Mother Nature keeps giving, but her heart must be ready to break. She's being abused and overused by her children who choose to ignore. There's only so much that she can give before she can give no more. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not greed lead the way. We poison the air, we poison the land, and we poison the water we drink. And we're the only known creatures in the whole universe with the ability to think. But we keep on thinking, happiness lies in how much we buy and sell. And more of paradise is lost, and only time will tell what will become of Mother Nature in the coming years, when we will have about 10 billion neighbors on the sphere. Will our children's children wake up to the American dream? Or will it have become a nightmare beyond imagining? Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not...
And welcome back to Late Night Poetry Jam. I'm Pamela Spodo, and I'm joined in the studio with Craig Boyer and Alex Colvin. And you just listened to Bob Wickline, Let's Take Our Heads Out of the Sand. I play that every time I'm on a show or helping to do a show or doing a show, because I like that song and that message so much. Let need, not greed, lead the way.
Yes.
So now, Alex, it's going to be your turn to share work, and I'm just anxious to hear what you have for us. So what are you going to start with?
Okay. Well, I'm going to start young. Well, actually, yeah, I'll even go back to like when I was 11 years old and
cool.
You know, and my mom's in the living room and I come in and say, "I just wrote a little poem, Mom." She goes, "Oh, what?" And I said, "Why am I living but that when I'm asked if I've enjoyed life in the past, I can say yes, my life is grand. I've done so much in so small a span." And then my mom goes, "Oh, well, that's okay, you know."
You said that when you were 11?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
then,
I like it.
Then
like
high
it.
School was a great time for me in many ways. But I had an English teacher named Mrs. Sauerbrier.
Really?
Yeah. And no, she was very sweet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sweet and sour. We studied poetry and we studied Shakespeare. And Shakespeare is one good inspiration. Actually, I don't find his sonnets, you know, like they don't necessarily bring poetry out of me, but the plays, the iambic pentameter, mm-hmm. Brought this one out.
Okay.
Night, after hours of scheming and planning, conquers the world in her light once more. And knowing no way to defeat her terror, man smothers the candle and closes the door and hides in his bed from the fear and frustration and worry and wonder and pain and despair, and pulls up the covers of sleep and creation and dreams that his troubles have gone and aren't there. But then, in the morning, the sun has appeared to conquer the darkness and make the land bright. And man sees his troubles are less than he feared, for the day has restored what he lost of the night. So he puts on his armor of honor and love and enters the battle against saddening thought. And when his life's over, he rises above and meets his creator and is glad he has fought. So that was at 17, you know, in high school. And Mrs. Sourbroy said, you know, you're one of the first students that I have that I think could really be a professional poet. But get another job. Just, you know, don't try to do it. But one, like I said, I'm not practical. So times in my life when I've gotten inspired by poetry, then I tend not to be practical.
Well, I wanted to say one thing since you did that. And for our listeners, that just came from your head. You did not read that. You had that memorized. That is one reason I feel I could not be a musician, because in front of a mic, if I don't have paper that I can read, my mind goes blank. So I totally admire that.
Well, thank you. Those early ones tend to sicken the mind. That's what my grandfather always said. Memorize poetry when you're young, you know. And
that's true.
So moving along through the years, after I went to college and quit school and hitchhiked around, and I went through another period of time where I was reading some poetry, and somehow or another, it's kind of subconscious. You get these rhythms in your mind. So this was another, that was when I was 17. This was when I was about 20 or 21. There's a power in the atmosphere that drives away the clouds for fear they'll melt or burn or disappear. Electrostatic syncopation. All my demons on vacation prods me as I stroll along to sing the world a freedom song. Ah, la, 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 la. Ah, 'tis fine to feel so holy. Watch the world go roly-poly, twitching, switching, zinging, swinging to the rhythm of my singing. Tail-wagging dogs advancing, freckled, smiling children dancing. Ants are breaking ranks and prancing round and square and helter-skelter. Moles emerging from their shelter. Trees upon their trunks are beating, bees in unison repeating, in strange tongues my song of greeting. Ah, la, 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 la. Ah, 'tis fine to feel so holy. Watch the world go roly-poly, twitching, switching, zinging, swinging to the rhythm of my singing.
Wow.
Really? Really?
So wow. You can see these early influences, which were reading the traditional poets where they had rhythm and meter.
Right.
I tended to be influenced by that.
And so I was going to ask you, that's one dimension. I mean, the classics, a classical writer, would you say that's true? That's a dimension that you have?
It's one dimension,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And these were before I really got serious about writing poetry. another time, I had been working on several bicentennial God Bless America festivals in 1976. And after that, working on things and being very concerned, this was the 70s. And actually, any time that you pick in our history is a time of tremendous concern, just as today is. You know, it was a period of time when there was a little bit of miasma for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a very serious threat between us and the Soviet Union that young people today, they never lived through it. They don't really know. It's just history. So this was another poem that I wrote. That just sort of came out. Rise, America, land of ancient dreams, send forth your light and sacred laser beams. In New York Harbor, a stony lady stands who holds a torch to light up all the lands. The sweat and tears of humbling men humble men shall saturate that torch, and then, ignited by a fire divine, shall make the light of freedom shine. Rise, America, land of ancient dreams. Send forth your light in sacred laser beams. The darkened skies have caused your flames to flicker. Politicians moan, clerics bicker. But now a fire has come to hasten our correction, to burn the chaff, to smelt the ore, to show us new direction. Let us hear no more of selfish cynics desponding, but rather dance with all our hearts to love's great call responding. Rise, America, land of ancient dreams. Send forth your light in sacred laser beams. I see Hispanics, blacks, and whites dancing in the northern lights. I see the gods of Asgard holding hands with holy men from hidden lands, Oriental sages, men of science, and Native American medicine men in a holy alliance, standing up in strong defiance, sharing their blood in a common reliance upon the holy primal word that Adam in the garden heard. Rise, America, land of ancient dreams. Send forth your light in sacred laser beams. Wow. Now, I think that one, see, you can see there are influences coming in from reading, because that right. one has a William Blake influence. You know, so I like to read a lot. I like to study a lot. And then it's not apparent a lot of times, the illusions that come in. You know, it's like with T.S. Eliot, too. You read his love song of J. Everett Prufrock, full of allusions to Shakespearean passages.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That if you read it, it just they just jump out at you. And yet they dance in his poetry. If you haven't read those things, the poetry is still beautiful. You just don't know what he's talking about.
That's right. And once again, to tell our listeners that Alex read, that was all just came from his mind. He was not reading that. It just flowed. And I so much admire that. And while I'm saying that, I want to remind our listeners that this is KKRN Community Radio, and this is Late Night Poetry Jam. All right, Alex, what do you have for us next?
I just want to go, because then I was getting a master's degree in publications design, and to improve my writing skills, which were primarily expository at that time, working for nonprofits, I decided to take a poetry class, and it changed my life. At first, I could not write under my own name. I wrote under a pen name named Thor Alexander, because I felt that I was too much in my head. And so there are poems that I wrote, and I don't want to take too much time, but an interesting phase that I went into was I kind of came into contact studying different groups of poets and everything. I sort of immersed myself in it and studying their lives. There was a musician. It was the kind of the Fluxus movement, the be-in type of thing, the beginning of performance art. And there was a musician, and I should be able to remember his name. It was John, first initial M. But he was a fairly good composer. And then he studied for a while under D.T. Suzuki, studying Zen Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And he changed his philosophy of art. His philosophy had been to communicate, to try to have inspiration or wisdom or beauty and communicate that to others through his music. But studying under D.T. Suzuki, he said he felt that that was limited. That was still in the realm of conceptual, of concepts, and not really in touch with the ultimate undefinable reality. And so D.T. Suzuki tried to teach him that the purpose of art from a Zen viewpoint is to stop the mind. Mm-hmm. If you can stop the mind, then out of the nothing will come moments of insight and inspiration. So I thought that's an interesting concept, and just a little short piece here.
Can I ask you a question? Because I'm sitting on the other side of the table from Alex, and he has these thin books with just interesting titles like I am Big Pin.
Big Pin. And Big Pin. That's one of my favorites.
Is it?
It is.
So could you read some of the other titles of these pamphlets you have or chapbooks or what? I'm not exactly sure what you call them. What
Bugs and I have, they're chapbooks with 21 poems in each
okay,
one.
Cool.
Bugs and I, the title poem is about a dream that I had where I went over a cliff with Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
So dreams are another side of inspiration. Power in the Atmosphere is the name of the second poem that I did.
What is this one?
Land with No Snakes.
Okay.
That sounds like Ireland.
Yeah, it does sound like Ireland, you know. And
okay.
You know, and then I have over here one called Sperm Whales, and that comes from the myth of Uranus and Kronos. When Kronos severed Uranus' male organ and cast it into the sea, and there was a tiny bit of sperm on it, which then gave birth to Aphrodite. And so I take that myth and I develop it along a line to where why don't we have a national football team named the Sperm Whales in the National Football League. So they're all assortments of poems.
So what are you going to read?
This one is called Opposing Influences, and this was influenced by that by the composer that I can't remember his name, but that idea of trying to stop the mind. So I started for a period of time not using form, and or maybe using form, whatever, but trying to stop the mind instead.